Let's open with a word of prayer.
Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your love and, Lord, your care. And Lord, just thank you for who you are. Lord, you're worthy to be praised. You're worthy to, you are worthy. You're God. You're the creator. You created us. You made us. Lord, you've sustained us. You've given us every good gift that we have, Lord, is a good gift from you. And we thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you for the promise. You say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And thank you, Lord, for that promise. And Lord, we can cling to that. We can hang on to it. Father, we know that. And Lord, I pray that you take Nancy soon. Just take her, Lord. I'd rather she be in heaven than be here in this body that she's living in right now. Lord, I'm going to miss her so much. We're all going to miss her. But pray, Lord, you'll take her. And Lord, just take her soon. So I just pray, Lord, that you'll be with us now as we take a look at this great book of Romans. Open our hearts to the message, Lord. It's such an important message that we all need to hear this, and we need to obey it, and help us, Lord, to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to try to keep on teaching. I feel like that's what God wants me to do. That's what he's called me to do. But I have put the authorities, the boys, okay, on high alert, because my emotions can change from one extreme to the other in 5 seconds. And things can change with her that quick. And so we got things on tap. Royce, I guess he's part of that. Thank you for that. But they're ready. If I have to call 5 minutes before class and say, hey, do something, they're prepared. So you're going to get something. And it'll be good, whatever, if they give you something good. Okay, down to the task at hand here. Okay, we just started, 3 weeks ago, we started Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. And we just got started into it. So let's just go ahead and read those two verses. And then we're going to delve into it. And of all the topics for me to be teaching right now, it's got to be probably one of the worst ones. And God's been overhauling me as I prepare these lessons with these verses. So who'd read Romans 12, 1 and 2 for us? Okay. Okay. Thank you. Okay. And like I've told you before, every time some preacher or teacher or anybody started talking on these verses, I just wanted to run and hide, because take a look at my life, and you know, and you try to sum it up, and it's not a very pretty outcome. But anyway, it starts off, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. 1 Peter 2:5 says, we are spiritual priests offering up spiritual sacrifices. The sacrifice we are called to offer is ourselves. Now, the language here is definitely Old Testament, okay? In the Old Testament, an offerer would come to God bringing his lamb, his turtle dove, whatever it was that he was going to sacrifice. And he brought that sacrifice to the holy place. And it was given over to the priest. And the priest took it, he slew it, put it on the altar, and offered it to God. That system has come to an end. God no longer desires animals to be offered to him. Now what God wants is a living sacrifice. Living men and living women to present themselves as a sacrifice. The central act of a believer today is the presentation of his heart, his soul, his mind, and all that he is a living sacrifice. That's what God wants. Okay? It's what he's looking for. Folks, this is a call to dedication. It is a call to commitment. There's four elements in a living sacrifice. Soul, body, mind, and will. God wants it all. And they appear in this passage. Scripture refers to the soul as that inner part of a man which God seeks to save. That's the real you, the invisible you that's inside your heart, you might say. It is that inner part, that invisible part, that is a very basic man himself, the essence of being. First of all, offering myself to God as a living sacrifice implies that my soul has been given to God already. Okay, in other words, what that means, it implies you have been unsaved. I mean, you are now saved. Unsaved people do not want to present their bodies as a living sacrifice to God. So that's the implication. First of all, step number one, a person needs to be saved in order to do this. Okay? And it all starts at that point. It is a call to a regenerated soul to make a proper offering. Now, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice isn't easy, because a body is a place where our humanness resides. We've talked about in our flesh, in our body is where the sin is. The soul is released. When a person dies, the soul is, after you're saved, let me back that up. After we're saved, our soul is saved. But folks, we're still living in these bodies. In these bodies, we are tempted to sin, and we fight a battle day in and day out, And so the sin part is in our humanness, in our body. And as soon as we get rid of this body, we're on our way to heaven. So, okay. When a believer dies, their soul goes to heaven and their body goes to the grave. And once that separation is made, there's no problem, okay? Because the body is dead. The body is that which contains our humanness. And our humanness is that which contains our flesh. And our flesh is that which contains our sin, as Romans 6 and 7 points out so clearly. And folks, we went into great detail over that. The fact that our bodies, the sin part of us is in our body. Our soul, the part that is saved, it's taken care of, at Calvary. We're saved. So it's essential then that we yield our body. Folks, that's what this is talking about, as a human sacrifice, yielding our bodies to God. Let's just turn back to Romans chapter 6. Okay, Romans chapter 6, and let's go ahead and read verses 12 and 13. And who'd read that for us? John?
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it and lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive and dead, and your members as instruments.
Okay. Yeah. John could have quoted that from Scripture rather than have to sit there trying to find it from. Okay. Folks, you notice in these two verses there is a choice. It's telling us which way to go, which way to yield our members, our body, okay? We have a choice. We can yield it to the world, or we can yield it to God. And so, folks, it is a choice. It is a choice we have to make, and we have to make it daily. Hourly, minutely. It's a choice. And we could go either way. And it's just saying something about, in other words, yield yourself to righteousness, to holiness, to God. Don't yield yourself to the world. And yet so many of us, we want to dabble in the world. We want to flirt with sin, get as close as we can and still not get too far to where we can still call ourselves righteous, I guess. But we like to flirt and dabble with sin, because sin is alluring. It is alluring. Now you've been redeemed. Your soul has been given to God. It says, so let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. And again, there's that word body. That's where the sin lies in us. Yield yourselves unto God. Whichever we yield ourselves to, we indicate that's our master. So which is our master, the world or God? So many times we fail. That's what Paul says. He says, with my redeemed self, I desire the law of God. But with my body, I serve the law of sin. Paul's fighting that battle. Paul's fighting it. Sin will no longer reign in your soul. That's transformed. That's a done deal. If you're saved, your soul is free. And your soul goes immediately to be with God. You know, to be absent of the body is, well, anyway, that's probably the wrong verse. But the sin will still be there in our body. And we have to live with these bodies. And we're going to fight that battle until this body is dead. And by the way, your body is not that just what you can touch. When it's talk about your body, it includes your mind and your will. Your desires, your want-tos. Chapter 8 says, we wait for the redeeming of our body. We say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Who's going to redeem us or remove us from this body of sin? That's what Paul said. Sin, therefore, still resides in our mortal body, and we cannot allow it to reign there or call the shots. We cannot let our body, our sinful desires, reign supreme. We are to yield our bodies to God. So what we have to do then is to take that body and offer it to God as a living sacrifice. That's what God's asking us to do. We shouldn't offer our bodies to the world with its lusts and passions to run rampant. And yet so many times we do. We fail. And frankly, it is a fearful thing the way the body can dominate the redeemed soul. Isn't it? It's fearful. It's so easy. Here we are, redeemed creatures with redeemed souls, transformed inner man, indwelt by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Almighty God is living in us, in the Christian, those that are saved. And yet, isn't it remarkable how much power is still there in the body to retard the work of the Spirit? The Holy Spirit and the lust of the world are fighting each other. Having a battle within us. We're fighting it. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and yet we look and we say, why do I do the things I do? Why do I think these thoughts? You know, the body is a center of desire, and it must be brought into subjection. What is calling for here? It must be offered to God as a living sacrifice, and it must be continually offered, continually presented. It's not a one-time thing, folks. Turn to 1 Corinthians 9:27. The last verse of that chapter. Who'd read that for us? Roger? Alan? Oh my. I'm okay, folks. I'm okay. Okay. Paul's fighting his battle. He says, he got to beat his body into subjection. Folks, we have to beat our body into subjection to do what God wants us to do, because the devil is so, he's alive and well. Alive and well. This verse gives us some real insight there. I have to control my body. That human part of me that wants to surge with all of his desires and take control. Folks, there is a battle rages inside of us. What he's saying is here, are you willing to say to God, I will live the rest of my life without anything that I now hold dear, if that is your will? You know, and I say, man, I want to hang on to things. You know, I love this world, even though we're living in a cursed world. But there's just a lot of joy and pleasure in it, you know. And that is a perpetual and lasting commitment. Abraham was willing. He was a man who walked with God who was so willing. And again, that's why Abraham is such a hero to all of us, I guess. Abraham was saying, I will surrender to you, God, no matter what it is, whatever you want me to do. I'm willing. I'll slay my own son. You know, I'm willing to kill him, Lord, for you. That's commitment, folks. As Paul put it, bearing about in my body always a dying of Jesus Christ. This kind of living sacrifice is a basis of true worship. It's a foundation of all Christian dedication. It is what Paul meant when he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul's willing to die for Christ. And he clung close to it several times. He's probably disappointed that he didn't die from some of these beatings, because then all his trouble would be over with. He could be with the Lord. Yet the Lord brought him back to do it all over again. We have to keep doing it because we have a way of crawling back off the altar, don't we? We try to commit, Lord, the best way we can, and next thing you know, we're back in the world again. We're back sinning. You know, we've let go. We got to redo it all over again. That verse goes on to say, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's the second part of verse 1. He says, I want your body. I want you to give your body to your sovereign. Yield our bodies to God. Notice there that this says it is our reasonable service. God is saying, this is not unreasonable. That's the way God looks at it. It's not unreasonable for God to ask us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. It's not unreasonable. You think, whoa. This is reasonable when compared with the glory which shall be revealed in heaven for us. Folks, look at the future. As Christians, we have, Lord, heaven for eternity with God, eternal bliss. We need to remember the great sacrifice which Christ made, who left his Father's throne on high, and he gave himself for us. Look at the price he made. You talk about a living sacrifice. Look at what Christ did. And folks, we need to use him as our example. Someone wrote, an author unknown, I counted dollars while God counted crosses. I counted gains while he counted losses. I counted my worth, by the things I gained in store. He sized me up by the scars that I bore. I coveted honors and sought for degrees. He wept as he counted the hours I spent on my knees. I never knew until one day by the grave how vain are the things we spend our lives to save. Remember that the body of the animal presented in the Old Testament sacrifice was to be without spot or blemish. And you know where this is heading. Okay. It was to be the best, the purest. And that's what Paul says when we present ourselves, we present him a holy sacrifice, spotless, without blemish. As I'm preparing these lessons, I think, oh my goodness. And folks, this should be our desire. It should be our want to. And it's not always our want to. There's times, living the Christian life, folks, is hard. It's tough. And we get tired. We get worn out. We get, you know, it's hard. And yet that is what God is asking for. God wants our physical bodies, our mind, and all of our humanness. He wants it brought unto him, He wants it brought into subjection and offered to him as a living sacrifice. Folks, we have become so comfortable in this society. We're willing to serve the Lord if it doesn't cost us a little extra time. if it doesn't take too much energy. We're willing to serve the Lord if we don't miss out on our favorite television program or a Chiefs game. We really want to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, but we want to hold on to a little over here so we can indulge in the world and enjoy its allurements and entertainment. Folks, we're soft as Christians. What God wants is an unspotted, unblemished self-sacrifice. And the word acceptable means well-pleasing or satisfactory. God wants a well-pleasing sacrifice from each and every one of us. And I look at my life and say, Lord, it is so full of blots and blemishes, I don't know how you can love me. With a sacrifice of total commitment of purity. That's what this verse is talking about. Like I say, I feel very uncomfortable up here teaching this because I am coming so far short. I even thought, you know, it'd be like trying to keep the law, you know, back in Old Testament times. You know, keeping the law. You can't do it. And yet, I keep thinking, Lord, I can't do this. And anyway, I'm getting off my notes here. God is not satisfied with anything less than that. That's what he wants. We come to worship to God with an offering, and what are we bringing to him? We are bringing him I got ahead of myself mentally. We come to God worshiping with an offering. What are we bringing to him? Are we bringing him a dead, defiled carcass? Folks, in Old Testament times, they got to doing that. God says, I want the best. And as you go on in the Old Testament, they're bringing him all kind of stuff that's lame and blind and defiled and everything else. And anyway, it's one of the Bible verses says, you know, you're offering this to God. Anyway, would you offer that to your governor? That's in the Bible somewhere between those page covers. He's saying, offer me a living sacrifice, which is an act of internal or spiritual worship. Real worship is not elaborate prayers, liturgy, candles, or ritual. That's not real worship. To God, that stuff's baloney. Don't bring me your baloney. I want a pure heart. Real worship is the intelligent, spiritual act of giving to God my body in all of his expressions, holy, set apart unto him. That's what God wants. So the Christian who would offer himself as a living sacrifice begins first with the offering of his soul. Folks, that's the time that we were saved. We offer our soul to God. And then secondly, the offering of his body. So first we offer our soul. Lord, I need to be saved. I want you to come into my life, take over. You know, I'm putting my total trust and faith in Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I'm asking you to save me. Lord, I'm broken. I have nothing to offer you but my sin. And I have no merit on my own to stand on. And Lord, I need forgiveness. I need a Savior. I'm asking you to save me. And then secondly, then, the second act is to offer our body. We've offered him our soul, given that to him, now to give him our body. And folks, that's tough. It's tough to do. Verse 2. In Romans 12. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to this world. Folks, it's easy to get conformed to this world. And it's all of its bells, whistles, and trinkets. We love it. The third thing that needs to be offered to God is the mind. The mind must be presented for renewal. Our minds is what directs our body. It's in the mind that we make our choices as to whether we will express that new man in holiness or allow our flesh to act in unholiness. We have a choice, and we make decisions every day. And God's asking us to make the right decisions, to live for him. Be not conformed to the fallen, unredeemed philosophy of life. Try to avoid that. the whole pile of the world's stuff be not conformed to that. It's inconceivable that a Christian who is a new creation in Jesus Christ would want to conform to the world. And yet we do it every day. Yet we've got to yield that, folks. We've got to beat our bodies into subjection to honor Him. And that should be our want to. That should be our desire. We're not there, but it should be our desire. But we get sucked into the world's allurement. We want to have their entertainment, to stay up with all the latest stuff. Paul's saying, stop the masquerade. You're a Christian now. Act like it. Don't fall for the stuff. Don't dabble in the world's sin, sinful pleasures and desires. The verse goes on to say, but be ye transformed. Notice how he presents it with a negative first and then a positive. Okay? Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. So, anyway. The word transformed is actually metamorphized, is the word, meaning totally changed. The same meaning is when a caterpillar goes through the metamorphosis to emerge into a butterfly. They're an ugly old worm when they finally build that cocoon. And then when they come out as a beautiful butterfly, that has been transformed. And here the idea is to change your outward appearance to match what you are within. If you're saved inside, look the same on the outside. In fact, the word used in Matthew 17 where Jesus was transfigured, the same word was used, metamorphized. Went through a metamorphosis. All right? When Jesus was transfigured. Jesus' outward appearance was made to be exactly like his inward appearance. I never thought of it like that before. But he was showing what he was on the inside when he was transformed. The light was so bright they fell down. They couldn't watch. They couldn't look at him. He was God in human flesh, and for a moment his human flesh manifested the God that he was inside of it. That's what we are supposed to be doing with our lives. We are to be transformed on the outside to match our redeemed self on the inside. Stop allowing ourselves to be conformed and start allowing ourselves to be transformed continually. Folks, it should be a goal, a want to, a desire. And that, by the way, is the work of the Holy Spirit. He's there to help us do that. And He gives us the strength to do that. It's the work of the Holy Spirit who changes us from one level of glory to the next, conforming us to the image of Christ. So how do we do that? We ask that question. Okay, that's great, Jim. You're talking about all this stuff. Now how do we do it? All right? That comes with the next verse. The next phrase. You do that, and the verse goes on to say, by the renewing of your mind. The word here is a renovation. Renewing here is a renovation. The renovation of the mind. How do we do that? David said it this way, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Folks, we do it from the study of God's word. And that's the only place we can go to find how to do it and to give us a standard to shoot for. That's the key to a renewed mind. It's right here. It's the word of God. God's word is a source of renewal. Folks, be under the teaching. Coming to church, hearing pastors preach, studying on your own. Folks, don't just let Sunday mornings, or maybe Sunday night or Wednesday night, don't let that be enough. We need to be doing daily devotions. Time one-on-one with God daily. That's where you're going to get strength. If you're not doing that, you're not You know, it's hard to live the Christian life, even if you're doing that. But if you're not doing that, it's tougher. We need to be in the Word of God. Study it. Know what it says. Try to obey it. The key is, if you're going to walk worthy, you've got to know what the Word of God says. You're going to do that when your mind is saturated with divine truth, and there is no shortcut to this. Folks, there's no easy path. There's no shortcut to living a godly life. You know, it takes work. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes diligence. It doesn't come naturally. Colossians 3:10 says, "Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge." Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Folks, here's our answers. Here's our answers right here. Do we spend as much time in the Word of God as we do in the allurements of the world? Have we set our affections on things above and not things on the earth? When something bad happens in our lives, is our response biblical? That's a renewed mind. We need to strive for that, folks. Now you say, "I want to give my body to the Lord." That's going to depend on the mind, because the mind then becomes a battleground. Your mind directs what you're going to do. The battleground where the devil fights with the new nature. And I don't have to explain that battle to you. We all have it. Philippians chapter 2 says, "Have this mind in you, which also was in Christ Jesus." That means reprogramming how we think. We need to start thinking more biblically. And again, just the verse just popped in my mind. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And you've heard me say this many times. And again, there, who initiates it? It's us. It's not God makes that initiation. We do it first, then he follows. Now, most of the time, he's done initiating. But there's times where we have to initiate, too. He wants us to do that. Any questions or comments before we move on? I guess I've been just up here just rattling. Any questions or comments? I guess comments, please, no questions. Because I can't. Well, John can answer them. We'll let him do it. Anybody? Yeah?
You mentioned that it takes work. In 2 Timothy 2:15, the common verse says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, like he is by the word of truth." So, God says, and that if you do that with the scripture, it's easier to offer yourself to God, because God works in you through the scripture. When we try to do everything on our own, it's not going to work.
Yep. Folks, we have got to put forth some effort. It takes work. It takes work to live the Christian life. It's hard. And yet, it's what we're supposed to do. It's what we're called to do. Anybody else? Thank you, John.
My point wasn't that we work. Yes, we do work in a sense to do good. But we work to study the Word of God, and then God makes it easier.
We can quench the spirit, the The Bible says that. So, good point, John. Thank you. Back when you first mentioned that verse, and years ago we used to work in Awana, and that was the Awana theme verse. You know, study to show yourselves approved unto God. A workman, well, I better hadn't tried to quote it because I'll mess it up. But anyway, that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly divided in the word of truth. I think that's close. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. The verse goes on to say, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we've presented the soul and the body and the mind, we will say, I approve your will, God. I approve. We will give our will up, and we will say, your good and your perfect will, I approve. That's what I want, Lord. And that's what we should be saying. Lord, I want your will, not mine. And there's times we want our will, and we don't like what God's doing. We don't like what's going on. We need to turn it over to him. Lord, your will be done. I don't want what I want. Now I want what you want. It calls for giving up our own will, ultimately. Lord, I want to give it all to you. All my desires, my hopes, my dreams, I want to give it to you. It calls, okay, I don't want my own will, I want your will. Can we say that? I got to answer, honestly, no, I haven't come to that point yet, folks. And I should not be teaching this. Should not be teaching this. Anyway, but I guess I'm here because I feel like I'm supposed to be here. I'm supposed to go through this, and we're not watering this thing down. A lot of times we want to try to water these things down, you know. Well, you're okay. All right, anyway. I don't care where I live. I don't care what I possess. I don't care what I have and don't have. I just want whatever you want. That's all. Are you living up to that, Jim? No. A renewed mind will be expressed in a submissive will and a body presented as a living sacrifice. It all comes in one package. You can't present your body unless you have a renewed mind, and because you won't have the will to do that if you don't have a renewed mind. We need to have a renewed mind. Lord, work my mind over. Lord, change my want to's. Increase my want to serve you, Lord. I want to live for you. I want to do better. I haven't arrived. We're a minute overdue. I'm just getting a good start. Yes, sir.
I hope what I said doesn't sound like I've got it all figured out. I have the same problems as everybody else. And it's difficult to deal with the body.
Yeah. You know, and yet I was thinking, I think a lot of times during the day about the lesson, and I thought, you know, look at Paul. Yet Paul says, you know, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, that's what I do. And, you know, Paul, you would think that Paul would be, apparently Paul doesn't think he's arrived either. So apparently, in the context, it looks like God is wanting this to be an immediate thing. You know, like now, you present it now, you know, like all of a sudden, bingo, I flip a switch and I'm holy. But it's obviously got to be a growing thing. It's got to be a thing to be sought for. Because folks, I got to stop. Our time, it's time to pray. Our time is past. So thank you folks for showing up. Thank you for being here. And this is we're getting ready to get into some good stuff, how we're to live our lives. We're getting down here, you know, where the rubber meets the pavement, right down to, anyway, it's good stuff. Don't miss. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. And Lord, you're talking about us presenting ourselves a living sacrifice. Lord, Father, we need your help. Lord, help us to grow in that grace. Because, Lord, it's hard. But you don't promise it's going to be easy. And, Lord, but help us, Lord. Give us a sincere desire to do that. To do the things we've been talking about this morning. Lord, just to have a closer walk with you. Lord, to honor you more. To study your word more. Lord, to try to shun evil. Avoid evil. Don't flirt with sin. And Lord, in the world's enticements. And help us, Lord, just to live holier lives. Lord, I pray that you'll be a pastor this morning as he brings a morning message. I pray you'll open our hearts. Help us, Lord, to grow from what he has to say and, Lord, to apply it. And we're thankful, Lord, for the communion service that's coming. And Lord, as we remember the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us on the cross, and Lord, as we see the sacrifice that he made for us, now he's just asking us to try to respond in a like manner. Help us, Lord, to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.